We're recording on the audio. Okay, now I'm gonna go to the, everybody can go to their Facebook page and share it. Facebook, it is online, so you can share that from Facebook right now. GloucesterCast 390, I'm just doing a little of the background. It'll be about 15, 20 seconds and we'll be good to go. Okay, share this with, share this to our page. We miss our friends Pat and Jimmy and Kim Smith, but we're trying to limit the amount of people we have on the podcast. We have our Clorox wipes, we have our Purell, and we are, and we've been wiping down every surface.
Dr. McCarthy's in the house.
Dr. McCarthy's in the house.
We got the gloves on.
You got the, yeah.
I'm doing free checkups in the parking lot of Captain Joe's today at 12 o'clock.
Do the snap. You got to do the snap. There you go.
Who's next?
Who's next? Who's up? Who is up? All right. Let's go to the chat. See if that's working. Ah, good. We got our chat. Hello, everyone. All right, GloucesterCast 390.
Hello, my friends. Hello. Oh, no. Kenny Rogers died.
Kenny Rogers died.
Right, yeah. Off the bat, out the gate, McCarthy.
Yeah, sorry.
Kenny Rogers.
Because that was just, hello, my friends. But he doesn't sing that. That's
Neil Diamond.
Neil Diamond, yeah.
So as
early 80s, late 70s, early 80s. Yeah, same thing.
Kenny Rogers, to say you got to know when to fold them, and apparently at 81 he did. He knew when. He just said, coronavirus, I'm out.
He looked. Oh, did he die from the coronavirus?
No, he did not die from coronavirus. It was natural causes.
Natural causes, right.
Yeah, thanks for that, Scotty.
Clarification.
My wife, I want to thank my wife, Kate, for tending the brisket that's at home right now. She's in charge. I can trust her. She's good. She knows how important it is. It's a 15-pound brisket. It's a big investment there.
Thank you, Kate.
You trusted her with a beef that big?
She can handle large cuts, shall we say. She can handle large cuts.
And cocktail sausages.
I'm going to introduce our friends here. We have Scotty Mack with us. We have Connor McCarthy with us.
Good morning.
Chris McCarthy as our regulars, and you're
is he a senior analyst here at GMG?
He's
the senior analyst, yes.
Analyst.
He's got the gloves.
I see.
The proctologist. Let's get the corona stuff out of the way. Governor Baker yesterday activated the National Guard to support the Commonwealth's response to COVID-19. Representing a significant addition to supply chain resources available to the Commonwealth and its residents. Governor Baker's order authorized activation of up to 2,000 National Guard members across the Commonwealth who will be tasked with supporting requests from state agencies for equipment, logistics, warehousing, and related duties. Local cities, towns, and state agencies should submit requests for support through Massachusetts Emergency Management Agency. So there you go. Hey, Luke. Luke's in Texas. Good morning, Rhonda. Good morning, Jimmy Aspisi. Yeah, I got you, Jimmy. Thank you very much. Thanks for looking out. ABC Healthcare, for people that are getting laid off, ABC Healthcare is hiring. I wanted to let people know that. And let me go here. There's a lot going on. There's a lot going on. But
there's a lot going on when there's nothing going on.
There's nothing going on.
There's nothing going on. But so one of the things that I'm going to do my Purell right now. Everybody go around with the Purell. One of the things that I found really cool is how people are dealing with it on Facebook. And there's so many different resources and ways people, just like us right now, can communicate with each other without having to be on top of each other. Hi, David Kukuru. Hi, Patrick McNally. There you go. There we go. And let's see here. I'm just going to go over to the page. Turn this down. And
Yeah, unfortunately, this this virus has become real. I mean, there's people that we know now that have it. So it's, you know, take 2 minutes out of every day to, you know, just thank whomever for the health that you do have, but also, you know, pray for those that are being impacted by this. Because again, it's, I think it's one of those things where it doesn't feel real until, you know, family, friend, whoever it might be, gets it. And unfortunately, it is becoming real. But I know we're going to knock it out. But just stay safe. Think positive.
I heard a staggering number overnight. In one single day in Italy, over 700 people dead overnight in one day.
Yeah.
And that's just hard to grasp.
Yeah.
I mean, you hear, like you said, a family member, a friend, or two or three, a tragic accident somehow where a few people die, but not 700 plus people overnight. I mean, that's just, and that was on the news. So if you want to check your sources, please go online and check those numbers out for fact finding.
Fact find you.
Yeah, no, I mean, and that's important to mention to people too, is that where are you getting your information?
Yeah.
If you're getting it from Facebook, except for this live feed right here.
This is all accurate.
This is, we're not experts here. We're here to talk about topics, and hopefully we do some fact-finding on some topics. Isn't that right, Joe?
Yeah. We try.
Disclaimer. But, I mean, know your sources. Know where you're getting this information from. As of right now, Charlie Baker, Governor Baker, and Polito have activated the National Guard, but it's not a state of martial law yet. As of this morning on the news, he has stated that he has no plans at this time to do so. So just, go on mass.gov, use reliable sources. Most importantly, do not get your information second, third, or 10th hand from Facebook because so-and-so heard so.
Yeah.
Do your facts.
And stop spreading it too.
Yeah. And just, you know, yeah.
If you think it's hard to believe, it probably is.
If you're frustrated now, imagine how frustrating you're going to be in the next, few weeks to come.
Yeah.
I thought that some of the really cool things is the people that, so I found this Facebook group, new Facebook group. It's relatively young. Cape Ann Sings Quarantine Karaoke.
Oh, cool.
And these aren't necessarily real singers.
Yeah.
But they're hilarious to watch.
Lisa, well, thank God they're in quarantine then.
Thank God they're in quarantine.
Well, we got to make one. GMG's come out with this.
Lisa Olson, everybody spread out just a little bit to make people happy. Everybody just spread out. There we go. Everybody spread out. There we go. Lisa Olson sang The Gambler, and she's hilarious. Aaron Pratt sang Islands in the Stream.
Oh, nice. Islands in this team.
You know what's funny though? Whenever a celebrity dies or a famous musician dies, those are the songs that people choose because it's a hot song at the moment. I mean, you haven't thought about that song in maybe 30 years. But, when Prince died, people are all out doing Prince songs and so on down the line with different musicians.
Reminded generation of Avicii.
Avicii, yeah. So, would you like to care to give us a verse, Connor?
No, well, I think it's just mostly tunes and beats. So
it's more than that, man. I know this. Yeah,
there's all that. There's that. There's also John Jerome, and F Bomb.
The Island Cowboy. The
Island Cowboy. They were awesome. They're doing
an F Bomb, man. Those guys are great.
Really great. We're going to do a call in because there's a service. Do you want to talk to? Let's call in with our One Ocean, One Love.
Want to do a call in?
Yeah, let's do a call in. Luke Majewski says tomorrow night Garth Brooks is doing a live concert on Facebook.
Nice.
Hey, what's going on?
Good morning.
Jamie, you're on speaker right now, and you're live on Good Morning Gloucester on the Glostercast this morning. I'm actually sporting some of your apparel right here for the One Ocean Apparel Company. And when I put my sweatshirt on to come to the Foster Cast this morning with Joey Shimataro and the gang that we have here. I said, why don't we talk about One Ocean, because you're a small business and we want to know, you know, how that affects you and at this time. But let's start from the beginning, though. What year did you actually originate or start One Ocean, One Love, or One Ocean Apparel Company?
We started in 2014. We were doing just pop-up fairs, the Green Wave Festival in Boston, and then other local festivals around the area. And we opened our first brick-and-mortar store in Rockport in 2015, so the following summer.
That's excellent. And so could you tell us a little bit about your mission with One Ocean? I know that you print right here locally, and your designs are all made local. So can you talk a little bit about that and what entails day-to-day operations?
Sure, yeah. I should pause, too, and say I'm more than 6 feet apart, but waving to you guys from across the harbor. staring at the window that you guys are...
How many dogs do you have with you today?
All three are here all with three. Me enjoying my tea, watching you guys from across the harbor. By the way, I was tuned in right when you called, and you're looking good in that sweatshirt.
Thank you.
It's a non-One Ocean Apparel, of course. So our mission, you know, we're right here on the water, right across from Joey over there. Beautiful view. It's hard not to be inspired by the ocean. Lucky enough to live right here in this beautiful town in Gloucester, and like I said, right on the water. So I've always been really passionate about helping to keep the oceans clean and the animals that live in it healthy. I started this company while I was actually still working at the New England Aquarium in Boston as a marine mammal trainer. So I got to spend days getting people and little kids especially excited about learning more about harbor seals, northern fur seals, and California sea lions, and always tried to convey that message to the visitors that would come out. And we weren't always just about balancing, you know, doing fun tricks like headstands or handstands and things like that, flipper stands. We were more about the educational factor of it and trying to convey that message and use the animals as ambassadors for their wild counterparts. So I tried to take that into my mission of the company, and we use our designs to help inspire people to keep the oceans healthy, like our Keep It Clean Beaches print, some other more graphic tees. you can check those out on our website. So that's really what inspires us. I always like to say our work is inspired by the ocean's beauty, our love for it, and our desire to protect it. So we try and convey that in our actions. We do a lot of beach cleanups. We work with the Clean City Commission in Gloucester here. Myself and my sister, who helps me with the company, are actually members of the Clean City Commission. We fundraised with our local nonprofit to buy sea bins, marine skimmers that are located all over the city here in Gloucester Harbor. And then most recently, we donated to the Atlantic White Shark Conservancy because we really support their mission and we're big fans of sharks. So...
Right on, yes, Jamie. I got a quick question for you. The harbor with the skimmers, from when that you first implemented working with them as to now, what sort of a difference have you seen? Maybe you can give us a percentage number or maybe some other information on the cleanup in the harbor. What is your eyesight out of your view?
Yeah, so it's hard to say. You know, it's just a small skimmer. We have a larger one over at Maritime Gloucester, and then the one we have at our marina right here in Cripple Cove is like about the size of a 5 gallon bucket. So we were really surprised to find that we were having to clean it out, you know, sometimes 1 to 5 times a day. Wow. And although a lot of what we were collecting was organic, like seaweed, we were taking that apart and kind of sorting through it and finding tons of microplastics within the seaweed. We would find bigger objects, of course, like plastic bags and bottles, all sorts of things would get clogged up in there. But
boaters beware. Really, make sure you keep your trash on board.
Say again?
I said boaters beware.
Yeah,
keep your trash on board.
Yep, I know it can be difficult with the wind and all that, but you know, just try to be responsible about that. And same, you know, I went to the beach with my dogs this morning and picked up a few Gatorade bottles and plastic bottle caps are the number one thing I find at the beach, aside from cigarettes, which is not legal on the beaches anymore. So keep that in mind, too. I think it's something we all definitely need to be aware of, and it's something that we try and convey in our message of the brand. And something really cool, my favorite part is not about seeing my clothing about necessarily, but when someone comes to me and tells me that we've inspired them to make some sort of change in their daily routine, whether it's switching from plastic water bottles to reusable bottles or anything like that.
Excellent. Now, I understand that you donate a certain percentage of your net profit back to charity. You want to speak on that a bit?
Yeah, so I touched on it a bit. We donate 5% back to helping keep our oceans healthy. We typically try to send a lot of our money to our local nonprofit, Cape Ann Maritime Partnership, to purchase these marine skimmers to put them all over Gloucester Harbor and hopefully move our way outward from there. But we also care about a lot of other local organizations and organizations that help to spread our mission. I'm really passionate about sharks, specifically great white sharks. I work hand in hand from time to time at different events with the Atlantic White Shark Conservancy. And I think they have a really great message about, especially in this climate right now, not necessarily right now, but over this past summer with all the shark population boom, I think it's really important that they continue to spread their message and education about, you know, how to be safe in interacting with these animals and sharing our oceans with them. So we donated our last quarter's net profits to, our 5% net profits to their organization.
And that's great. I mean, especially being a small business and giving back like that, that's tremendous, Jamie. So, and speaking about being a small business, the COVID-19, as I'm sure the entire world is aware by now, unless you're living under the ocean, is affecting everybody in a small business. How is that personally affecting your business?
Yeah, I mean, I work from home doing all the printing at our Gloucester shop. So the main difference is we've obviously had to close our doors here and as well as in Rockport. We are a seasonal business primarily. We do a lot online as well, which I want to thank everyone who's been shopping with us online to help support us. But our real main source of income is from our Rockport location, which we tend to open up this time of year. We pick our days based on the weather. But this is sort of the light at the end of our tunnel. We've been closed since Christmas time, and it's tough getting through the winter without any major source of income. So we try and plan for that and try and plan to make it through till April. Obviously with this happening, that's a little scary for us because we won't be opening in April, it looks like, at least not in Rockport. And hopefully, we still have our tourism season and we still have folks coming to Rockport, coming to Gloucester and supporting us as well as all the other small local businesses here in town and over in Rockport as well.
Yeah, Joey actually has mentioned to me, I mentioned to the whole podcast, where you thought when you spoke with Sherry Zissick at the Beauport, Joey, where this might actually benefit Gloucester for tourism, people more with staycations rather than traveling.
Well, I think once it opens up, I think people are going to be maybe reluctant to get on a plane. So I think that a lot of people are going to stick around.
That's a good point. I hope so.
So Jamie, just tell us, give us your two locations real quick. And then we're going to get your website posted to the blog with Joey. Joey's going to make sure you get that information on it. If you, on your website, if you're looking for volunteers for any cleanup and stuff like that, I'm sure you could field any of those questions, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah, you can contact us directly. Our contact is on our website. And then also a great way to find out about more that's going on is to follow us on Instagram and Facebook. We post and repost a lot of our own stuff, but as well as anything Cape Ann Maritime Partnership is doing or the Clean City Commission is doing. We're kind of upset because we were in the process of planning our Great Gloucester Cleanup, which we do, this would be our fifth annual, I believe. And we usually do it to coincide with Earth Day weekend. And unfortunately this year we have to postpone that. So you guys can stay tuned about our Great Gloucester Cleanup. It takes place at about 7 locations all over Gloucester. All over Gloucester itself. So you guys can find out more information about when we'll be postponing that or what the date will be once we get the okay. So that's something that'd be really great to have more volunteers for.
Excellent, Jamie. Well, we really appreciate the call in today. And again, we're going to make sure that we get your website posted and the information of how people can check out One Ocean Apparel and help support the oceans and your cause as well, and then get some great product in the meantime.
Great. Thank you guys so much. I appreciate your including me in on this podcast.
We certainly hope that you don't have to pick up too much trash on the beach today. So enjoy it with the dogs, get some fresh air, and do your part with COVID-19.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Jamie, thank you so much.
All right. Bye-bye.
Yeah. That was a great call from her. Can everybody just go a little bit further that way? You go a little bit further that way, you go a little bit further that way. And we'll all still be in the thing.
You know something we don't?
No, I just want everybody to feel comfortable. You know what I mean?
We sign the waiver.
We disinfected everything. You know, it's So there's that. Everybody Purell up.
Again?
Purell up. Let's keep it ripping. So so tell me this, Chris. You're a newfound walker.
I'd like to think that I've always walked, but not as frequently. much as I have been the past 2 weeks.
And you're kind of disgusted. This is kind of a reoccurring topic, like on the podcast.
Yeah, I know we've talked about this before, but one thing that I've noticed, which is pretty disappointing, is the amount of trash. Now, I think part of me has come to the conclusion that it's you know, maybe the recycling. You know, on a windy Sunday, well, we get pickup on Monday, so
yeah,
people put it out on Sunday night. I got to imagine that some of the trash is due to the wind, but I'm like so surprised at just how much trash is along the roadways that I walk.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing is the poop bags. Now, I don't, maybe I'm missing something, but when I pick up my dog's poop in the bag, I tie it and I put it in my pocket. Now, the bags that we use are biodegradable. So are people thinking that when they pick up their dog's poop, they can just throw the bag off to the side of the road and let it sit there for 6 months, a year, until it disintegrates?
What we have come to, this is what some of the theories, and I'm not saying any of them are right. Some people say they're going for walks, they drop them, and they plan to come back and get them.
Right. I've done that maybe once, twice.
You have done that. Okay.
I have.
So there's that. Then there's...
Is that dependent on the workload?
There's a lot of them. There's a lot. There seems to be, because Kate and I sometimes go. Kate goes for more walks than I go for. But I mean, far more walks than I go for. But at the footbridge, Good Harbor.
Yeah.
Like every morning, Ralph says that your dog, you wait to let your dog poop right in front of his doorstep. So there's
a big mound in front of Ralph's house.
There you go. This
day in poop history with senior analyst at GMG, Chris McCarthy.
Poop analyst.
Pat, just a shout out to Pat Dalpiaz and Jimmy. Like, we really wanted to keep the podcast to a couple of people today, just for the whole, in this situation that we're going. We miss you guys, and we'll have you on.
We put them on furlough.
We put you on furlough. Yeah, put you on furlough.
You'll still get full pay.
Yeah. But, the poop bag thing is a huge mystery. Yeah. I don't know we should put a poll on the blog and see what people think. Like, is it laziness? Is it disgusting? Or do they think people are going to pick it up on their own? Or they think that the bags are biodegradable?
I get upset at my dogs when, you know, I start my walk and like 10 minutes into my walk, that's when they poop. Because then I have to carry the poop in my pocket for the rest of the
walk. We should hear from both dog owners and non-dog owners on this one, though. Because there's two different opinions.
Kodesh says that the amount of poop bags that were at the boardwalk, one was an outrage yesterday.
Yeah, oh, really?
I think that they just assume that... I think these people... I don't know. I'm not a dog owner, so I'm hard. You know, people already think that I'm a dog hater.
I think it's easy if your dog poops... And you're doing the right thing by picking it up. I mean, that's the thing. The first thing is to pick it up. And most people are picking it up in the bag.
Imagine this.
They leave in the bag.
Imagine this. Imagine if their theory, and I'm just going, you know, free balling here. Imagine if the theory is, well, the DPW will pick it up in the morning. Imagine if the DPW just says, fuck it. We're not going to pick it up anymore. And they just let it fucking pile up right at the entrance.
The carry in, carry out rule applies to the beaches anyway. So why wouldn't you just take it with you?
And dog poop.
I know.
You know what? I'd much prefer them not to even pick it up with the bag. Leave it there so that when it rains two or three times, it's gone. You got to look at the bag.
The bacteria and everything else.
And then a car drives over it. Like Niles Beach, two bags where cars park with poop in it.
Don't they have specific barrels, drop barrels anyway?
Not for poop, I don't think.
No, I thought they did down the boulevard.
Yeah. Oh, maybe. I, I'm not a dog guy, so I don't really know.
You might have a new species of plants coming out with all this poop.
Exactly.
Yeah. Transfer of seeds.
let's call up Brian Parisi.
Do you have his number?
You wrote it down.
Yes.
Brian Parisi.
Good morning. Good morning, Scotty.
Good morning, Gloucester.
Brian Parisi is the owner of Delivery Shark, and I was just made aware of this local company a couple of days ago. Connor was talking about Uber Eats, or Scotty was talking about Uber Eats the other day about how they called McDonald's and they said it was free delivery, but the charge for like just a burger and fries was
$20. Delivery Shark?
This is Brian Parisi, representing Delivery Shark. How are you, Joe?
You're live on Good Morning Gloucester. This is Scotty Mack with Joe Parisi, Chris McCarthy, and Connor McCarthy.
Brian Parisi, and Joey Shimatai.
Did I say it wrong?
No, it's all right. It's all good.
Two Parisis in the same room, that might not be too good.
Yeah.
Talking off the cuff here, I'm brand new, so who knew?
You're doing a great job.
Brian, how old, why don't you tell us how Delivery Shark got started, the premise behind it, and we'll go further after that with like what are some of the services and what is some of the business you're working with?
It started probably about 10 years ago, the brainchild of a kid named Chris Clancy, who was unemployed at the time and, you know, just reached out to a bunch of restaurants and, you know, deliveries was born in Gloucester with Glowin' Rock. He recently moved on to become a casino dealer at Encore and gave the company to his friend Eric, and we've been at it for a year now as Delivery Shark.
So you're a partner or you're an employee?
I am the nighttime dispatcher and spokesperson, I guess.
There you go. That's good. So what are some of the things that Delivery Shark does? I mean, I can assume, but I don't want to assume, and tell us exactly what kind of things you do, what kind of services you offer, and what are some of the people that you work with?
We right now have a stable of about 20 plus restaurants in town where they're exclusive or backup, you know, delivery service for. Some of the restaurants that we service, Jalapenos, Tacos Lapita, Sebastian's, Captain Hook's, Leonardo's, Supreme's, Cafe Bistro, Jeff's Variety for the best lobster roll in the city. I do a lot of breakfast places now with the, with the takeout and trying to just, you know, improve their business for them. So we've been doing breakfast for the past week out of Zeke's Place. Picked up Mom's Kitchen. Yellow Sub does a wonderful breakfast. Charlie's Place just took us on board. Sherry's Corner Kitchen out in Magnolia, another great place.
This is a big boom.
They can't have people in their restaurants and people still need to eat. So,
yeah.
And, you know, everyone's at the supermarket, but I mean, how long can you survive on hot dogs and beans?
Yeah. No.
You know, you want to let the professionals cook for you.
James Aspisi asked if you deliver beer.
No, I think you need a special license for that. But you know, I'm sure liquor stores are going to be one of the exempt things that are going to be allowed to stay open.
Yeah,
that and marijuana stores.
An island of Gloucester without liquor stores would definitely cause some sort of rioting, I'm sure.
Absolutely. People are up in arms about the bars. Some other restaurants we have most of the Asian restaurants. We have Ocean Garden, Horizon, Midori. We even deliver now for Hong Kong Kitchen out of Rockport.
Wow.
525 in Magnolia if you're looking for a little something a little more upscale.
I know a lot of people are probably asking, Brian, what is your delivery fees?
Delivery fees are a flat rate, unlike Uber and DoorDash and that base it on miles. Any restaurant to the Gloucester or Rockport is a simple $4 charge. Anything going out to Manchester is a $5 flat fee.
That's reasonable. That's very reasonable.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you order through DoorDash, next thing you know, there's like a $8 to $9 charge added to your order.
And let's not forget about the tip for the drivers.
And definitely don't forget about that, especially during these times. I mean, for...
Because a delivery charge is a delivery charge, but a tip is something that goes out to you directly.
How long?
Yeah, I like to think of the delivery charges, the convenience of not having to get off your couch.
Right.
How long is the typical delivery time?
Usually, most nights we have 10 to 12 drivers ready to go.
Right.
So, we have the restaurants trained pretty well. As soon as the order comes in, they let us know. And
great.
Usually the driver's in the restaurant waiting for it to come out. So, it's...
Does the low man on the totem pole get the Manchester and Rockport rides?
we usually give the new guys those ones. But those folks in Manchester, they're pretty generous with tips. They're appreciating us coming out that far. So
are you hiring, or are you guys you're pretty well set with the number of drivers that you have?
We have like a 10 to 12. Like I said, we have 10 to 12 pretty regular guys. Uh-huh. We've taken on a couple extras, people who have been affected from our restaurants, servers that can't work now because, we try to just, they're our bread and butter and the people are hurting now too. So we've taken on a few drivers who were former wait staff in restaurants that we service.
Yeah. I'm just curious.
You got to give back. You got to take care of each other.
Yep.
In the past 2 weeks, how many deliveries have you done?
It's been picking up. I mean, I think everyone, you saw the rush last week, everyone, two shopping carts full of stuff. But like I said, eventually the mac and cheese just doesn't cut it as far.
Yeah.
So every day since Tuesday when, everything was shut down, it's just progressively getting busier and busier every night.
Ramen noodles were sold out at the Shaw's East Closet.
Rossi?
Yeah.
I think when as the word gets out, because, to be honest with you, I hadn't even heard of Delivery Shark up until maybe a week ago. And I consider myself pretty, online knowledgeable.
Oh, yeah. No, you have your thumb on the pulse of the city, that's for sure.
Well, yeah. I mean, so I think, with the word getting out, the business is probably going to really pick up, I think.
Yeah.
It's always been, like I said, it's been going for 10 years.
10 years.
People just love the convenience. They don't like to go out of the house.
When did the name switch from Glowing Rock to Delivery Shark?
When they transferred, when Chris went to work for the casino, Glowing Rock was a play on Gloucester and Rockport.
Right, but I get it, but I think I think Delivery Shark is more explanatory, and it
includes what it does.
Right,
and our little catchphrase is circling the island, so you don't have to.
Genius. Brilliant.
That's brilliant. Brian, so people are asking, the name is Delivery Shark, and they're on Facebook.
Correct.
I don't think there's an app, Mick, but is there a telephone, is there a website, or is it just Facebook?
It's through Facebook, but all the restaurants I just listed, you just call the restaurant, and everything's worked in, the delivery charge, everything.
So basically,
now people always...
They don't necessarily need to call you. They don't necessarily need to call you.
No, it's all handled through those restaurants. You want something, you want some Gary's dip from Jalapenos, you call Jalapenos, and they do all the work. They call us when it's ready, and it's at your door very shortly thereafter.
Are there multiple services servicing the same restaurants? Or are you mostly exclusive?
We're mostly exclusive. There's a few restaurants that are so busy, they do have one or two delivery drivers, and we'll get some of their overflow. And
so the most important thing is to either mention, Delivery Shark at the time of ordering if they're unsure of exclusivity. Does that sound right?
No, like I said, the restaurants that I listed, you just call them, and they call us immediately after taking your order.
Good to know.
And there's a lot. So a lot of people, we basically use the Facebook page. It's just to, promote businesses, during the day. But it's also a vehicle if, let's say, you want Tono, and we don't have, you know, Tono is not an exclusive customer. You just zip us a message and say, hey, this is Joey. Give him the ad, you know, just let us know on Facebook, and we'll go pick up anything for you.
Will you
except booze at this time.
When we're all said and done with this coronavirus thing, when we're all sitting on the beach this summer, will you deliver it to the beach?
Oh, we deliver to the beach. We deliver to hotels, anywhere people are.
So hold on. Let's back up. I don't want anyone talking right now because it's very important. So, is there a telephone number, or is it only through the Facebook? If it's a place that we're not sure of, but we want delivery of a pizza to the beach. Should we go to the Delivery Shark Facebook page, or should we?
If you go to the Delivery Shark Facebook page, there's a list of all our restaurants that we exclusively serve. You simply call that restaurant, and they handle everything after that. They call us, they give us your address.
So just about anybody in town, you can get delivery to the beach. So you shouldn't feel like you're limited to a couple places.
Right,
you
like
can
a sub.
Like a sub or something like that.
You can get Eric's gumbo.
Oh, no, we have plenty of sub shops, too.
Wow.
But if you want, if there's any restaurant that, let's say you're having a hankering for passports.
Yeah.
You just call passports, you know, place your order for Joey, zip me a message on my Facebook page, and one of our guys will come down and pick it up for you.
Do you need to get a confirmation on the Facebook page or just assume it's going to be picked up? Because that would make me nervous if I didn't get a confirmation.
Good point. Yeah.
No, I think I want to say our response time is less than 2 minutes usually on any messages.
Cool.
I have a valid question here. Do you have any customers of yours that order food through your service, Delivery Shark, at one location and then try to scam you in for a free Uber ride, so to speak, back to that section of town where you're going for your next delivery? Or it's happened before. This is why I'm asking.
No, we haven't had that yet, but I figure one of the guys sitting at that table is going to try that the next day. You wise guys.
That's funny. There you go.
We'll do anything. I mean, I see all the stuff you cook on your grill all the time. You want to set up something and people see it and want it delivered, we can do that for you too.
I don't have a permit to sell anything, and God forbid the word got out that I was trying to sell my stuff without a permit. I'd be shut down.
I salivate when I see you cooking.
Yeah, we got a 15-pound brisket on right now. My wife is tending it. Yeah. God bless her.
I think you might need to branch out and get a food truck or something.
There you go.
Yeah, maybe in my next lifetime we'll be doing briskets and
lobster rolls.
Real barbecue. There's really not. Well, let me see. Was there any?
Well, you got the lobsters. You definitely should be having some surf and turf vessels out of there.
Wouldn't it be cool to have
you're missing out on a huge business opportunity there, Joey.
Huge horseshoe bar where the fishermen came and hung out and do lobsters and barbecue
and brisket.
Yeah.
All day long.
All day. Yeah, it'd be pretty wild.
All right, we'll talk about that at another time. That sounds like a gold mine in the making. Gold
mine. Brian, thank you so much for joining us. Everybody, check out Delivery. All you have to do is go to Facebook and punch in Delivery Shark. You'll get all the information you need. In the meantime, you can call your different restaurants in town and just say you can place your orders and you don't have to leave the house. And that's what it's all about right now.
Right. I mean, there's a big piece in the Herald today talking about takeout versus delivery, and you know, I mean, it's just, you know, it's a tough time right now. But like I said, everyone still needs to eat.
Yep.
Do all of your drivers wear gloves and use hand sanitizer?
We loaded up on sanitizer right when it hit on Tuesday, so everyone's got a fresh one. So you're getting clean hands every time
Very
we show
important.
Up.
Thank you.
Well, thanks again, Brian. We're gonna let you go right now, and thanks again.
All right, people, stay safe.
All right, that was great, Brian. That was a great piece.
I can't believe they've been around that long, and I haven't heard them.
Well, I knew about Glowing Rock, but I just delivery shark in the last week or so. I think when we did the post about which restaurants are going with this situation we're in, everything is moving so fast. Right. And changes are coming daily, if not hourly. So we did a post about who was going to be serving, doing curbside takeout and stuff like that. And and people kept on chiming in. You got to check out.
Yeah, Brian is so right that, you know, we're all going to come to a point where it's like, I'm sick of cooking. I'm sick of being in the house, you know, standing in front of a stove or a barbecue. We ordered out from the Causeway last night, and it was so refreshing to have someone else's good food.
Jerry had a point earlier in the week on one of your podcasts that you actually welcome spending more time with the family instead of having chicken nuggets on the run and soccer practice 7 days a week. So it could have mixed reviews on that one, actually.
No, it's been pretty interesting.
I've been, you know, it's stressful, but there's definitely some positives. I was talking to Ken Duckworth yesterday about some of the nice aspects of slowing down and not just having to run, you know, rush to work, rush to pick up the kids, rush to bring them to practice, and being able to spend time with them. When I have them, I mean, they're with their mom right now, but when I have them, it's just nice to not be constantly at.
A lot of yard work going on, which you love.
No, I don't love it. Yeah. I don't love it. I don't love it. We got to get outside.
The other thing that Connor and I did yesterday is we took a ride to Far From the Tree in Salem, the cidery for the... Those of you who haven't heard about Far From the Tree,
tremendous.
They have a takeout window. So I had a growler that I hadn't used in probably a good year. So I cleaned it out, brought it to the takeout window, and spent $72 on cider.
$72?
I filled the growler, and then we bought four packs of cider.
Did you get the Nova?
No, I'm a big fan of Nova, but Nova you can find anywhere.
Yeah.
So we bought the strawberry basil.
Oh wow.
Massachusetts, which is one of their drier ciders.
Zero sugar.
Right. But then we bought this one that they made for Mardi Gras. Supposedly it's supposed to taste like Sazerac. What's the famous drink in New Orleans?
Sazerac. It's kind of like a whiskey or a bourbon. Susan Lipsett made a great drink with it.
Yeah, so this cider is a play on Sazerac. Wow. We haven't opened it yet.
Oh, I'd like to try it. I'd like to try that.
You know where we're going after.
It's almost noontime.
5 o'clock somewhere.
Connor brought up an interesting thing. For gamblers, there's a lot of people that like to gamble. A lot of people like to watch sports. There's an absence of sports, obviously. But some gamblers now are going to bet on different kind of things.
Yeah, when you put on your TV, you see all these replays and all these great games and, you know, all these kids that are so used to betting in Barstool, you know, I guess would say struggling during these times with no entertainment. they now have this thing... whatsoever, no advertisement here, but betonweather.com, something around those lines.
Betonweather.com.
And so you pick your area, and they have the weather channel and all these predictions on the day that you can choose and what the weather will be over under. And it just comes to that where you know the world is definitely come to a halt when kids are resorting to, or gamblers, I don't want to just say
this
kids.
This is an official site where you can win money.
Yeah.
No kidding. Yeah.
Wow. So it's gone that.
So over under, it's 34 degrees over under.
So it was partly sunny and partly cloudy, a push.
Right? And they use one national weather agency service. Wow. Yeah, too.
That's interesting.
I love it.
One. Yeah. And I guess you have video games as well. They're working to bet on video games, but then, you know, it's...
Well, I've been making millions because I'm betting on a site on games that have already been played, and you get to bet on teams winning. And, like, I'm perfect so far.
Is that like the pre-tape horse races show?
Oh, my God. So what I'm going to try to do, though, on the blog is to feature these local bands that are doing these concerts without audiences on a daily basis. Because, to be honest with you, I leave the house, like, once a day or twice a day just to come down the wharf to check on the wharf to make sure the pumps are running and stuff like that. That's why we're here. And
we had to check the pumps with them.
We had to check the pumps. Check the pumps. Check the pumps. But
Joey, two times.
I had to check the pumps.
You got to make sure the plumbing is all right. You got to make sure the plumbing's all right. But I don't generally have trouble coming up with content. But like down the wharf, like between all the fishermen and the stuff that happens down and the people I see. You know, it's easy to come up with content, but it's just everything's kind of shifting to like these. It's interesting to see local people, entertaining other local people, which is I really love
one
it.
Of the menu items for the Causeway last night was a 2-pound
baked stuffed
lobster with shrimp and scallop stuffing
for $22.
Wow,
yeah,
2-pound lobster.
Unbelievable.
Already cooked for you.
Try that in August. Years past.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, so we were talking about Delivery Shark cannot deliver booze, right? This rolls right into this. Savor Wine and Cheese is offering, for your convenience, peace of mind, and a desire to limit social contact, we are expanding our 2-home delivery program throughout the week, including Sunday and Monday, 7 days. Home delivery guidelines to place your order, and they have. If you are one of their regular members, they have your recent purchases in their database, and they can select wines for you based on your recent purchases.
Yeah.
This is what the free delivery: Gloucester, Rockport, Manchester, Magnolia, and Essex. Minimum purchase of $50 includes wine, beer, cheese, charcuterie, pantry item, bread, and snacks, everything at Savor. It requires a person 21 years to receive the order, and please provide recipient's phone number to confirm delivery time.
Yeah, that's
savorwineandcheese.com. I think that this is brilliant. And
that's
so
great.
Where Delivery Shark may not be able to do this, Savor Wine and Cheese.
We'll drive for wine. Savor, so I have a vehicle, license, registration, insurance.
You'll even sing for them.
We'll drive for wine.
Yeah, no kidding.
Will you sing for them when you bring it up?
It's funny you bring back up singing again, because I think we should have some homework, Joe. Since we're all in the house and we're stuck, we should come up with a top 10 list of this Gloucester karaoke, Corona karaoke stay-in of our favorites for the next podcast. We should be... subject to watching karaoke.
We should write our own song.
And then make our top five list of what we found on the site. What do you say?
I'm good with that. I think we should come up with lyrics for the new GMG theme song.
A parody challenge, maybe?
A parody challenge, a poem. What's parody?
A parody. Parody is like a Weird Al Yankovic. So it takes eat it.
Right, right.
So that type of,
Yeah, eat it.
We have a DJ truck going all around Gloucester.
Well, it's funny you mention that. If anybody like to have an electric generator or something, I can open that tailgate of my car. And
nice.
Actually, you know what? That prompts me to, I saw something on the news last night where people are going door to door to warn people that do not have social media or internet about the coronavirus, or, by now everyone has a television or something, but some elderly, they're doing wellness checks and things like that, but people just aren't computer savvy or aren't keeping updated. So I actually came up with a plan. Instead of these people going door to door, you use like the old Essex radio truck in the old days where they come by and they go down the neighborhood and they actually
it's awesome.
talk through the speakers and let people know. I mean, yeah, it would be annoying to some people, but guess what? It's keeping people safe. And I know I have powered speakers for my vehicle and a microphone. So, I mean, if anybody needs a hand, I'll be more than happy to help out, too.
That's funny.
But yeah, that's a great
great
point you brought up.
There you go.
And maybe play some music.
And then we'll put some tunes in between.
I love it.
Don't stand so close to me.
Don't stand.
Oh, my God.
Don't stand.
There's actually, if you go onto Spotify.
Police.
If you go onto Spotify, there's a whole playlist of coronavirus songs.
Oh, really?
That they've compiled all these songs. I haven't checked it out yet, but that's the first one that came to mind was Don't Stand.
You know what I really like watching too is the I really like watching the TikToks that show families with young kids. The young kids are all into. Connor, are you too old for TikTok?
I dabble with TikTok.
You dabble with TikTok.
I don't TikTok myself.
But like but you check it out every once in a while.
Yeah,
right?
It's more on the TikTok.
What do you think the age where if you have TikTok, it becomes it's a little weird for you to have TikTok. What age would you say the cutoff is?
I would think it was like
put your hand by your face.
Sorry. I would think it is, you know, mostly targeted to millennials, but recently when I got on it, someone asked me to download it. It looks like a lot of celebrities, you know, moms are on it, adults.
My
you know,
college
like
buddies. My
every
get
age
from my college buddies. Yeah. A lot of TikTok.
On TikTok?
Stuff.
There you go, guys.
I can see every age.
I would think that it might be, if the celebrities are on there, they're trying to zone in on that market demographic, too. Mm-hmm. They're trying to show that they're still marketable to that that age group or millennials and stuff, you know? Yeah, staying like a Paul McCartney, staying relevant. Do a song with Rihanna.
I like seeing the
Bieber.
Kids. I love seeing the families, like, you know, that are holed up, like just kind of like totally like doing creative TikToks on their kids' channel.
One-minute TikTok.
Would you do a TikTok with your girls?
Huh?
Would you do a TikTok with your girls?
I've done what my Madeline asked me. My Madeline does not want me on her commenting on her social media, because that's just not cool, right?
Right.
I get it. I totally get it. But one day we were in the kitchen, and she like was, you know, we were fooling around, and she taught me some of the moves, and we did one face to face, and I tried to keep up with her, and she was just laughing hysterically. Patrick Ryan. My buddy Patrick Ryan from Hamilton has.
Can we post that one?
What's that?
Can we post that one on
on her account. And God forbid, you know, gotta be, you know.
Private screening, maybe?
It's pretty ridiculous, yeah. But my buddy Patrick Ryan from Hamilton, he has three young daughters, and they're doing family ones. They went up to New Hampshire. They have a house in New Hampshire, I think, and they're up there doing them. And really awesome. Really great stuff. But yeah, I think that's all of our topics for today. Do you guys have anything else? Do we have anything else we're going to talk about?
Yeah, we were going to mention Anthony Catarano and Latono that did the food donation to the Open Door with the pasta that they cooked with the mayor, Safatia. So kudos to Anthony on that.
Yeah, we mentioned them on the last podcast.
We're also going to talk about Kim Kardashian.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, Connor follows her on Instagram.
He doesn't like you commenting on his social media either.
There's a lot going on with Kim Kardashian, with the whole thing with Taylor Swift.
I don't follow. I don't know about that. All I know is a couple days ago she posted something where she was out for a walk, and she lives in California, Calabasas, California.
Calabasas.
And she took a short video of a lobster in her street or on her street. Come to find out, I guess it was a crawfish, but she posted, "There's a lobster on my street," and it was a crawfish. So
Kim's gonna come to Gloucester.
Kim,
crawdads, or they're saying crawdads with crawfish, or crayfish, depending on how people say it.
Yeah,
I say crawfish, but New Orleans Southern thing.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I mean, it was a pretty big crawfish.
Who's been to New Orleans here? Who here has been to New Orleans? The two of you. Yeah. Okay. Twice. You've been there twice.
Once. Pre-Katrina.
So, you guys kind of know me.
I definitely know me.
So,
what's his name?
People have said to me, you would love New Orleans. Now, hold on. The way I picture New Orleans is kind of like a grimy city, like an old grimy city. I don't understand why people say you would love New Orleans. Like, why do all people...
The scene. There's great music.
Look out the LA field first.
There's great music. There's great food. Yes, it gets messy there.
In what way?
People get sloppy. You know, especially around...
Drunk-wise.
So I wouldn't recommend that you go during one of the festivals, especially at your age.
Yeah, no.
But if it's not during one of the festivals and it's just, you know, normal time down in New Orleans, it's a great area to visit, to enjoy great food, great music.
Good architecture. Is there cool architecture?
It's old town. Very southern. You know.
There's the trolley that takes you along this road.
So it's very walkable.
It's very walkable.
See, I like those guys. I love
Bourbon Street. Obviously, is the main.
Yeah.
The main.
Yeah.
State for tourism. But you go outside of Bourbon Street, and I've had the luxury of doing that. I had somebody from New Orleans that lives here in Gloucester, and we went down with a group of guys. So we got to go down. We spent 9 days during Mardi Gras, which is after four, it was ready, kind of go home. But I'm glad that we spent the full 9 days because you got to go on a swamp bayou tour.
Yeah,
and I got to eat alligator dogs. And they take you down the bayou, and you look up, and there's snakes overhead, and there's wild boar off to the side, and it's like being on the History Channel or the Travel Channel, but you're in it.
Yeah.
And now I love stuff like that, and these tour guides know what they're doing.
Yeah.
They grew up on the swamp. They would never put you in danger.
Right.
But I mean, that's where I first got to try alligator for the first time, and it tastes like chicken.
Yeah, but
you put enough breading on it.
Right,
yeah.
But I mean, it was in a dog form. It was spicy. It was like New Orleans spice. But going to the Crawdads, we sat on the back of a pickup truck and ordered a 20-pound paper bag with a plastic liner, and you just sit there and you eat them, suck the juice out the heads, discard.
Yeah.
And that was a great experience. We got to some of the local places off of Bourbon Street, but actually on Bourbon Street, like Chris said, the music, the culture. Yeah. The voodoo. The voodoo is huge down there. It's all like French Creole. Mm. So you get the it's really.
I feel like I need to go.
Good culture.
No, you have to go.
You definitely have to go.
I feel like I need to go. I'm still kind of like, but I love 4 days. That's what I was thinking.
4 days. Go see a football game. Go see a New Orleans football game.
I mean, the House of Blues is tremendous.
Mickey says he's just getting rid of the blisters on his feet from all the walking in Playa del Carmen.
Hey, Mick.
That was the walk-in from Disney, all the walking you did at Disney.
Yeah. No. Well, Mickey was in Disney.
Yeah, he was in Disney.
Joey, here's a good point about New Orleans, too, is you see, like, New Hampshire and New York have actually gotten on board with restaurants to deliver alcohol. I mean, for takeout, even. In New Orleans, you can drive through a daiquiri shop, they call it. It's called Daiquiris.
Yeah.
You can go through the drive-through and order from a number of about 45 different frozen drinks by the gallon or by the individual cup. And it's not open container unless you put the straw in the lid.
I was just going
to
say, yeah.
So that's... I don't need to be driving through within that. I like the walk-through part of it, but like I don't need to be driving, drinking a fucking daiquiri.
But the beauty about, and maybe why you might like this too, is New Orleans has like happy hour.
I'm all about that. I'm all about like, so some of my favorite, so I love Paris, and one of the main reasons I love Paris, I love outdoor squares with outdoor cafes. Mm-hmm. Like al fresco dining to me is... just so much fun. And like, so I picture that, and I'm not sure if that's what it's like big open windows or like, you know what I mean?
No,
and
what's interesting is they're not on the street. They're inside the you go into the building and they have these areas. What the hell do you call them?
Like an atrium.
Oh, cool.
But you have to go inside the building and there's atriums inside.
And it's all open air.
And it's
most are all open air.
Yeah, there's a couple really cool ones.
It's interesting from the comments, people are like, it seems like people either love New Orleans or have no thing to. I think I would probably like it.
It's a very interesting.
But I think you're right. I think like three, I think probably 4 days would do it. But Nashville, in the last 4 or 5 years, Nashville.
Well, that's the hot spot now. Celebrities, country music is
there value that,
now? Took place of rock and roll basically right now.
Yeah. Is there value in
it's
Nashville?
Expensive, I heard.
Nashville's expensive.
Yeah, it's expensive now.
So it's
everybody wants to go.
Yeah.
But I mean, I've been to Nashville a couple times. It's again a place you have to go to.
Yeah.
But because I'm not huge country fan, it's still a good scene.
Yeah.
But one of my biggest surprises about Nashville is actually how small it is. I mean, it's a field. It's only like 3 or 4 blocks of.
Kodiak just said this. Kodiak just commented, Nashville has one street. It's overplayed, he said.
Right.
That's what you said.
Is that Beale Street? Or is that,
that's in Memphis.
Memphis.
Yeah.
It's Beale Street.
I forget the name of
it. It went there. Drag.
That was my biggest surprise is how small it actually is.
Yeah, it's not
but,
as...
But even though it's small, they pack a lot of fun shit.
There was a television show that was short-lived. It was only 2 or 3 seasons, I guess it was on. It was called Nashville, and it brought a lot of attention to that area.
Oh.
And the Bluebird Cafe. Yeah. So they featured the Bluebird Cafe is where a famous place down in Nashville was to go and perform as an artist, either starting out or to get famous artists in there. Mm. But I've only been there as a child, so I haven't been there as an adult yet. Joey, I think a 4-day trip once this all lifts is right up your.
Well, yeah. When this is, you know what I'll tell you. We were over in, Robert and I were in England and Spain, and I'm past my 14 days back. By the way, thank goodness, right?
Oh, thanks for telling us now, Joe. Jesus Christ, we've been around.
We've done about 3.
Jesus Christ,
we're in the Purell. We're in the Purell.
Jesus Christ.
But I'm so glad I took that trip.
Lick it.
I'm so glad I took that trip. But I'm not when this lifts and they give us the okay, I will be I'm gonna be back to traveling. I hope people book their trips. And I'm going to book through a travel agent with my wife because she's so
specifically
awesome. She's so amazing. Kate, can you give me the temperature of the pit, the two temperatures on the... She's taking care of the brisket.
Smoke
and I trust her to do this.
You had the app.
Well, I didn't want to blow
Kate,
off.
You
thing.
Can do this.
She's got it. I know she can do it. I just need to know. Capable. I need to know what the temperatures are. I probably got to go. I probably need to wrap it soon. But on my list for next spring, I want to do the Bourbon Trail.
Yeah.
I'd like to do all in one trip. I'd like to do three days in the Bourbon Trail, 2 days in Nashville.
Perfect.
And 3 days in
Memphis.
No, and what's it called? New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Yeah. Felicia left breakfast on the edge of the back of my truck. Oh, that's nice. Thank you, Felicia. That's sweet of you.
For one or for four?
I don't know.
The seagulls are grabbing.
Okay, thank you, Kate.
Yeah, the seagulls.
The seagulls are destroying
so
it.
The temperature on the pit, 286 and 172. So it entered the stall. So we will be eating brisket today. So I'm happy about that. I was worried that I wasn't going to have enough time. I did a hot and fast. I followed Craig Kimberly's advice. Craig Kimberly on barbecuewit.com has awesome video on hot and fast brisket. And normally when I do a brisket, it's 12 hours, but I'm trying to get it done within six or seven.
For the people that aren't familiar with a brisket, what is a brisket exactly for the watchers and the listeners?
Brisket is a huge, fatty cut of meat, of beef. And
from the ass? Does it come from the ass?
I want to say it's... I don't know if it's Joe, Craig.
It comes,
I don't know if Craig's
it
listening.
Comes from the ass.
Boom.
If you lose your watch,
ding. I'm not Craig. If Craig's listening, he could tell us what it, I forget. I should know this. I think it's a shoulder.
Same thing.
Shoulder, flank. I'm not sure. But anyway, it's got a ton of fat. It might be the ass, actually. It has a ton of fat. But and by cooking it, Pauline says the breast.
Get more sound effects out of there.
The breasts. From the breast.
this won't hurt.
But it's got a ton of flavor. Most barbecue, you take these cheap cuts of meat and you cook them over long periods of time. I agree with you, Brenda Grimes Davis, that the rusty can is the best barbecue around.
Yeah.
You cook it over a long period of time and it breaks down this fat and it becomes like liquid and it's just... very rich and very delicious.
You can
feed a lot of people.
Do you put smoke on that, or is it just how do you prepare it? Liquid smoke, or you just
no,
cook the
not
fat
liquid
and
smoke.
Just
no,
rum,
I used Craig actually gave me some pecan, pecan wood. So I'm smoking it with charcoal and pecan wood.
I think it was someone I'm following on Instagram ordered out from Rusty Can yesterday, nachos with
it was Alicia Cox.
Alicia Cox, yeah.
It's a pec muscle from a cow, Laurie says.
Pec? Breast, pec.
Breast, same thing.
Laurie who?
Laurie Wisniewski. Wachowski. Laurie Wachowski. I think I'm saying that right. I'm not sure. She's like one of the number one commenters today. She's like commenting on everything.
people are on edge. I gotta talk to people
right now.
Of course, it's still seal.
You know, the thing of it is like you gotta try to stay in touch with people, and
so you gotta touch people too.
No touching of the people.
Speaking of parodies, there it is. Hands, not touching hands. The guy 6 o'clock out of the Boston Brownstone.
Not reaching out.
So if there are any bands, local bands, that are going to do private Facebook concerts, send me a private message, Joey Shimataro, and I will try to post it live on Good Morning Gloucester so you can our huge viewership. You may have huge viewership,
Scott,
but if we post it
a couple tunes
on ours, it will be that much more.
The live music will go through if a DJ plays it like myself.
Right.
Artists have rights to the music, so they'll shut us down on the Facebook feed.
Yeah, you can't have...
How about local artists?
Local original music.
Yeah, original music. They can do covers all day long.
Yeah. I got pots and pans at home. Why not? Tune in for the pots and pans show coming Monday night at 7 o'clock.
I wonder if the seagulls are getting into the breakfast that's out of my bed of my truck right now.
Let me go check.
Chris, you had a story about seagulls, didn't you?
Speaking of seagulls.
Great segue.
I think Alexa shared this story with me. She's very bright. This lady did, Alexa, a scientist did a study watching seagulls eat food, in which she claims that seagulls... their first choice is to go to food that humans have touched. So she set up this experiment where she touched, I don't know what kind of food it was, but she touched food and set out some other food that was untouched and covered it with buckets. And then she uncovered both plates of food, and the seagulls went to the food that was touched by her. So
9 out of 10 seagulls say.
I thought it was interesting just because we live, in an area that has a lot of seagulls. The moral of the story is if you don't want seagulls bothering you, don't touch food.
Don't touch the food. How does it get in your mouth? You just got to tie your hands. You'd like the
you
apple
like
bobber for apples.
Stick
your face in the cooler.
Yeah. Or you lie under a towel and then you wait for the seagull to come on and then you.
I remember them doing that experiment down the cave.
You lie flat down on the sand and then you put food on your stomach and you're under a towel so a seagull will come on.
To get the food.
And then you wrap it around. Scare the crap out of
you. How many did you catch?
Don't worry. I mean, he let the thing go.
I'm making up for it on Earth.
I couldn't do it.
Vicious. They're vicious. The seagulls.
They're dirty.
When it comes to
filthy
food.
Animals. You know me with the animals, though. I have no...
Is Russ on? Speaking of filthy animals?
I think Russ would have commented. Oh, we should have called Russ. Should have called us. His baseball season.
Have they found out if the coronavirus is transferable to pets yet?
They say it can get on the fur, but supposedly pets cannot get coronavirus. They can be a carrier.
Oh wow!
Is what I heard. I mean.
So what you're saying is while you're picking up your dog poop and walking dogs, you shouldn't be patting other people's dogs while we're walking.
Or dogs touching dogs.
Or letting your
dogs touching
dogs. Is that karaoke right
there? They're the only ones who can touch each other.
Here's something. For anyone that can help me,
You need a lot of help.
For 3 days now, I've been racking my brain trying to figure out how to remote podcast. to bring in, and they say that you should be able to do it, bring in a viewer onto from Skype
into the thing,
so we don't have to, like, be with each other and stuff.
So is that, like, the news?
Jamie Matheson said the second dog just tested positive for COVID-19.
Oh, wow.
Oh, it did. Yeah. So, see? Fake news.
Gotta ask the hard questions.
Who was that reported by, though?
That was Jamie Matheson from One Ocean. We just interviewed minutes ago.
No, but what's our source of information? I mean, is that coming
Jamie,
from
if you have a source of that or if you have a link, let us know.
Is that coming from, like, John Hopkins or the CDC?
I don't know. That's from Jamie Matheson. Maybe she could tell us where she found out.
Digression, but Earth Day is coming up, April 22nd. Maybe we can
How that's going to go.
Yeah. Big cleanup.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to buying one of those trash claws. What do you call them?
Oh, similar to the golf ball pickup things. Yeah,
I'm buying one of those, and I swear
you'll make Kate very happy because I haven't seen her do it recently, but she was on a kick there where she was bringing the trash bag every time she went for a walk. Yeah,
I remember she counted how many nip bottles.
Bottles
like
here's the thing. We had a theory last year. So speaking of theories and recurring themes, we had a theory that, like, because the spring, like, there's so much snow that when people toss these nip bottles out, they get buried in the snow. And then when the snow melts, then it unearths a ton of these nip bottles. But no, there's been no snow.
No.
I mean, since December, has anybody got the latest forecast?
I was just going to say.
Are we going to get snow tomorrow?
That's what they say.
I heard the coast, it's less likely.
They're saying maybe, possibly 2 inches of plowable snow. Further west and north of us, could be up to 6 inches.
Wow.
I'm talking western Mass and northern, like southern New Hampshire. Yeah. But they say on the coast, maybe 2 inches plowable, and that's a stretch.
We can bet on it.
All right. I think that's going to be it for us. Thanks for coming in, guys. Thanks for staying safe.
Yeah, give it one last whirl.
Give it the last little whirl with the Purell. Everybody stay safe. I'm going to, if you have if you know of someone that is going to be some band, local band that's going to be doing a live performance, Facebook message me so that I can try to schedule that for posting on Good Morning Gloucester. Everybody have a great day.